chapter 7. Of course, normally we are going through the book of 2 Corinthians, but this morning, with it being Mother's Day, we're going to take a pause just from our normal study and look in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, there's a wonderful account here that we find in Scripture. I think is really fitting, I would say, for Mother's Day. And just to look at this morning, I think we'll be able to learn some things from it. Luke chapter 7, we'll read verses 11 through verse number 16. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through verse number 16. And I'd love for you to read with us as we read this passage together. If you have a Bible, you can read along. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. And follow along with us and read together with us as we read Luke chapter 7, verse number 11 through 16. Let's read that. "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, to how you use it to speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that your word would work as only it can. And Lord, you just use the message. And Father, we just thank you for each of the ladies here this morning. Thank you for all of the mothers. And Lord, just the impact that they have in our lives and in their children's lives. And we're just so grateful for them. And Lord, we know how much you love them and you care for them. And Father, I pray this morning, you just, Lord, just help us to learn from your word and teach us what you'd have for us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is a beautiful passage here. And as I was reading through this, really, I think as I was coming up with a title for the message, I think an appropriate title would be The Gift of Life. The Gift of Life. Obviously, when we think of mothers, none of us would be here without our mothers, right? And God has blessed us wonderfully in giving us mothers, and we're so thankful for them. But this account that we have here in Luke chapter 7, it's very interesting. This is the only account that we find of this passage. Luke is the only one that tells us of this account of Jesus and this woman. I think it's interesting that Luke is the one that tells us about this, because if you know who Luke is, you'll know that Luke was a physician. Luke was a doctor, and it was his job to help restore health to people. Of course, Luke traveled along with the Apostle Paul in many of his missionary journeys, trying to be an assistance to Paul with his health and the many things that he battled. And so Luke, whose job it was to restore health to people, gives us this account where Jesus doesn't just restore health, he restores life. He restores life to this young man. And it's one of the, I would say, it's one of those heart-wrenching accounts that God takes and uses for his glory. Again, just put yourself in the position of this woman. Think about what Jesus has said. They're coming to the city, and there's a funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain. And several years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Israel, and we were near Nazareth. They said, if you look across the valley there, at the base of that little hill, that kind of mountainous area over there, right at the base there, you see that little city. And they showed us that city, and they said, does anybody know what the name of that city would be? And I raised my hand, and they said, what do you think it is? And I don't think they really thought anybody was going to know. I said, it's Nain. I said, how did you know that? I said, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. This is awesome. I've always wanted, I didn't actually get to go into the city of Nain, but I got to see the city of Nain from a little distance, right? And so I can just picture Jesus and these disciples and this group that was traveling to the city of Nain, and out from the city comes this funeral procession. Obviously, they do it a little bit different in the Bible times. Now, in a funeral procession, you see it, people in cars, right? You see a funeral procession, people driving by with cars with the little flags on top, and people pull over to the side of the road, or they're supposed to pull over to the side of the road, and stop out of respect and things. But here, they're traveling, and again, they're walking outside of the city. It's most likely the son probably died either the day before, could have been within just 24 hours, 48 hours that her son has died. Of course, back then they didn't have all of the ways to take care of bodies and things, and so they needed to get the body into the ground quickly, and so they're moving out to this area where they would bury her son, and she's just heartbroken. And I'm sure, being a mom, many of you, I'm sure you could just think of the plight of this woman here today, as she's moving outside the city, she's on her way to bury her son. And what a heart-wrenching thing that we come across in this passage here. The tragedy of this passage is really threefold, though. Here, this lady is a widow. In other words, she's already lost her husband, right? Her husband has already died. This is her only son from that marriage. This is her only son. And no doubt this son was very special to her because it was her only son and her husband has already passed away. And now she's had to watch her son face death. She's had to watch her son die. We're not told how he died. Most likely he had some type of sickness or something. And she had to watch her son go through that sickness and die. And now she's on the way out to bury her only son. I can't imagine what this woman must have been going through, the grief that she must have been experiencing. No one left to take care of her now. She's on her own. Her husband has passed away. The only son that she had has now passed away, and now she's on her own. I find it very interesting, though. We don't know how many people Jesus raised back to life. But it's interesting that the Bible and the gospel records, it gives us an account of three different people that Jesus raised to life. Think about this. The first one we find is a child, which was a centurion's daughter. Then we find this young man who was this widow's son. And then we find an adult who was the beloved friend of Jesus. Jairus' daughter, this young man, and then of course we know Lazarus. I don't think that those were the only three people that Jesus brought back to life, but I do think it's very unique and very interesting that of each age group it seems to be there's one that Jesus brought back to life. From a child, a young man, and then an adult. I think that just kind of shows that there's not just one group of people that Jesus cares for. Jesus cares for every single person. He loves every single one. Doesn't matter what age group you're here this morning, although this morning this is what we would consider more maybe like a Mother's Day message, I hope you won't just tune me out here because I can tell you this morning, Jesus cares for you too. And I don't know what you're going through in life, and I don't know what obstacles you're going to face, but I can tell you this, Jesus wants to be there with you and walk right through those things with you. It was the Lord who saw this woman. It was the Lord who had compassion. It was the Lord who spoke to her. It was the Lord who stopped the procession. It was the Lord who raised the son to life. I'm thankful that we have a God who cares about us. He cares. And he cares for you this morning. I want you to notice two things about this passage of Scripture very quickly this morning. Two things. Notice, first of all, we find that Jesus is the comforter of all hearts. He's the comforter of all hearts. This woman, filled with grief, has no thought of the crowd coming toward her that day. No doubt, as they're moving out, she probably sees this large group of people coming up to the city. I don't think she had any clue of who they were. She didn't really care who they were. All she was probably concerned about was hoping that they would get out of the way so that this procession could continue on. She had no idea of the thoughts of those people coming toward her. She did not know Christ. She didn't know anyone in that group that was coming toward her. The last thing on her mind would have been trying to get compassion or sympathy from those people that were coming into the city. But the Bible tells us that Jesus looks on this woman. Notice what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 13, and when the Lord saw her. Again, Jesus is with his disciples. He's with this multitude. There's a great crowd following Jesus. And as he's moving toward the city of Nain, out comes this funeral procession. And the Bible says that the Lord saw her. Can I tell you, friend, this morning, I don't know what you're going through in life, but I can tell you this, there's someone that sees you. He sees you. He sees what you're going through. You may not know, think that anybody else knows what you're going through, but he does. He sees you. And here's the greatest part of it. Look at the next part, look at the next few words. What does it say? And he had compassion. Friend, not only does he sees you, but he has compassion. Again, Christ looks on this woman, and his eyes see far more than the others that were with him saw. His eyes saw more deeply and more tenderly into the sorrow of this woman. No doubt everyone else that was with Jesus just saw a funeral procession passing by. They just saw something that was normal. They just saw something that was just part of life. Here's this funeral procession. They have no idea that this woman is a widow. They have no idea she's lost her only son. They have no idea the things that she's gone through in life. To her, she's just normal, everyday person. But to Jesus, she was someone special. To Jesus, she was someone that he cared about. And he looks and he sees the sorrow of this woman. Again, I think it's interesting that Luke is the one who tells us of this encounter, as Luke truly shows us the humanity of Christ through his writings. The human emotions begin to well up in his heart and move him to action. By the way, it's in Luke that we find, as Jesus goes to Lazarus where he's died, where we find the verse that children love to quote, because it's only two words, right? Jesus wept. You see, Luke is the one that shows us the humanity of Christ. Sometimes we get this idea of Jesus or of God that he is God, and so he's far above us, and he doesn't care about us, and he doesn't know who we are. And yes, he is far above us, and yes, he is God. But here's what he wants you to know, friend. He cares about you. He knows exactly who you are. And he knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through in the past. He knows what you're going to go through in the future. I love what Hebrews tells us about Jesus Christ, that he is the express image of the Father. Therefore, in seeing the heart of Jesus, it also shows us the heart of the Heavenly Father, the compassion that he has. This woman has no idea of what is happening in the heart of Jesus. She has no clue that his heart is breaking with hers. She has no clue the compassion that he sees upon this woman. Have no clue that he loved her. And the compassion that he was going to show on her if he had not spoke these next few words. Watch what he says. He saw her, he had compassion, and then he speaks to her and says, "Weep not. Weep not." I can only imagine that as that woman and that procession is passing by, and Jesus sees them, and I don't know if somehow he gets the procession to stop, I don't know, but he sees this woman. Maybe they have stopped as this crowd is coming through that's following Jesus. But Jesus looks at this woman, and the woman looks at Jesus, and there is eye contact that is made, and Jesus looks into her eyes and looks into her heart and says two very simple words. And I'm sure with great compassion and love in his heart and in his voice, he simply says, "Weep not. Weep not." Now, it's a very interesting thing to say, wouldn't you think? Here this woman has lost her husband. She's just lost her only son. And Jesus addresses her and says, "Weep not." What's she supposed to do? I mean, why? We understand why she's weeping. We understand the sorrow that she's going through. She's lost her only son. It almost sounds a little rude for Jesus to tell her, "Don't cry." I mean, could you imagine? This is your only son, and this person that you have no idea who he is, and this crowd that's coming by and disturbing your funeral procession for your son, and all of a sudden this man stops and he looks at you and you look at him and he says, "Don't cry. Weep not." You'd probably think, who is this guy? What right does he have? Doesn't he? If he knew what had just happened in my life, he wouldn't be saying that to me. If he knew that I've lost my husband, if he knew that I've lost my son, if he knew the things that I've gone through in life, he wouldn't say, don't cry to me. He wouldn't say, weep not. Oh, but Jesus did know. Jesus did know what she had gone through. Jesus did know that she was a widow. He did know that this was her only son, and yet he says, weep not. Wouldn't raising her son back to life caused her to stop weeping? Now again, we know he's going to do that. We know he's going to raise her son back. So why didn't he do that first? Why didn't he raise her son back to life? Then he wouldn't have even had to say, weep not, right? I mean, if he would have raised the son back to life first, there would have been no reason for Jesus to even say, weep not, because I think she would have stopped crying. But that's not what he does. Jesus says, weep not. Why? Because Jesus wants to meet the deepest need of this woman's heart. Not just the physical need of bringing her son back to life, but Jesus wants to meet the deepest need that only he can meet. It's not her son that is her greatest need. No, her greatest need is Jesus. Her greatest need is the Savior. Her greatest need is the Messiah. And if he can bring comfort and solace to her, then her joy and happiness won't be in her son. It will be in Jesus Christ. How often do we look at comfort and satisfaction from the things of this world and from people in it? And yet the problem is that when those things are taken away from us, what happens? We feel empty. We feel left empty and broken. But if our comfort and satisfaction can be found in Jesus Christ, then no matter what we have or no matter what we lose, we still have him. And Jesus is trying to address the deeper need of this woman and helping her to see that it's not just about her son, because here's, friend, what's going to happen. He can raise her son back to life, but guess what's going to happen? Her son's going to die again. And she might have to go through that whole process again if her son dies before she does. But what he's saying is, I can meet a deeper need that you have. I can meet a deeper need to truly heal that sorrow and brokenness that you have. Do you know why Jesus can bring comfort to your brokenness? Do you know why he can bring healing to your hurt? Because comfort and healing can only be found in Jesus Christ, who hurt and wept and felt what we feel. You see, there's a reason why Jesus became man. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You know why you can go to Jesus and know that he knows the hurt that you're going through? Because he hurt. You know why you can go to Jesus and know that he understands the loss? Because he experienced loss. You know why you can go to Jesus and know that he knows what it feels like to be betrayed? Because he was betrayed. Aren't you glad that we have a God who not just stands above us and says, hey, you're just my creation, but who is willing to become part of the creation, that was willing to take on flesh and blood so that we can go to him knowing that he knows and has experienced everything that we feel and know. To know that he's not just saying, oh, I feel sorry for you, but no, he's saying, I've been through it and I know exactly what you're experiencing. And I want you to know that I can meet that deepest need that you have. I can meet those needs that only Jesus Christ can meet. It's interesting, in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 and 4, he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He says Jesus came, and he came to bear our sorrows. He came to bear our griefs. I love in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, He tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If he would have just raised her son without addressing her brokenness, then she would never have found real healing and comfort in her heart. And friend, can I tell you this morning that Jesus is the comforter of all hearts. Again, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've experienced in life. I don't know what you're going to, but I can tell you this. Jesus knows, and he cares, and he wants to be there to comfort. Not just the outward, but he wants to comfort the deepest part that only Jesus Christ can meet. But I want you to notice the second thing here in this passage. Notice, not only is Jesus the comforter of all hearts, and this is what I love the most, he is the antagonist of death. He is the antagonist of death. Life and death meet on that small road. That little road going up to the city of Nain had no idea what was going to transpire that day. As death is coming out of the city and life is coming into the city, and they meet on that little road that day, right before they get to the city of Nain. Life and death meet. That little procession moving down toward the place of the tombs and another procession moving up to the city. The Lord of life meets a man who has lost the battle to death. This woman never asked anything of Jesus. She didn't ask anything of Jesus. In fact, it was the Lord that instigated this conversation. It was Jesus that says when he saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Jesus was the one that instigated this. This woman never asked anything. So why do we see the Lord stopping? Because he had compassion on her. It came from his heart. It came from his own heart. And may I say, this is the heart of God, to heal the broken, to mend the hurting. In fact, before we ever ask, God delights in working and giving and healing. Micah 5:7 says, he tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. God says, I'm not going to wait for you to ask. I'm willing to do it for you. He didn't wait for this woman. He could have just stood there and said, well, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, well, you know, I am the creator of the universe. I could heal this woman if she would ask me. I could heal her son. I could raise her son back to life. But go ahead, you need to ask me. But aren't you glad he didn't just stand there and wait? Aren't you glad that he came to her? By the way, can I tell you something this morning? That's the way God has done it for us. You see, God knows that every single one of us are sinners lost in our sin. And the judgment for our sin is to be separated from God for all of eternity in a place called the lake of fire. And God could have said, you know, hey, that's your judgment. You chose this. You chose to sin. This is on you. So if you figure out a way to get to me, then maybe I'll help you out. Aren't you glad God didn't do that? Aren't you glad God said, I'm not going to wait for you to try to find a way to me. I'm going to come to you so that you can know me. And God sent his only begotten son. Isn't that interesting? Do you notice the correlation here? Here's a woman who has lost her only son to death. And here is the only begotten son of life meeting them on the road. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so thankful that God didn't wait for me to try to figure out how to get to him. I'm so thankful that God understood that I was a sinner and that I could not save myself. And he made a way. He knew I could not figure it out. And so he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come to this world. Not just to live a good life so that we could figure out some good things and be moral. No, no, no. He sent his son to this world here, to live and to die for your sin and for my sin. The Bible tells us he who knew no sin became sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God says, you can't do it. Can I tell you something? There's no doubt that this woman probably had doctors come and look at her son when he was sick. There's no doubt that this woman tried to do anything she could to heal her son. No doubt she stayed up countless night after night after night. Maybe she was putting those cold compresses on her son's forehead. Maybe she was trying to get anybody to come and figure out, hey, give me some other cure. Give me something else to try to figure it out. She had done everything she could to try to save her son, and it still ended in death. my friend, you can think you can do anything. You think you can figure it out. You think, well, maybe if I go to church, or maybe if I'm good enough, or maybe if I get baptized, or maybe if I join a church, or maybe if I try to keep the Ten Commandments, maybe that will all be good enough. Friend, can I tell you something? It's going to end in death. Separation from God for eternity. Because just like on that road, there was only one person that could bring life to that boy. There's only one person that can bring life to you and me today, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one. You see, Jesus Christ met them on that road that day, and he was the one that instigated this. He was the one that wanted to help to heal her brokenness. Before she even realized who he was, before she even knew what he was going to do, God already had a plan, and Jesus knew what he was going to do. And as they're walking by, Jesus puts his hand out and touches the bier, touches the casket there that the boy is in. Not only did he stop and speak to the woman, but he says he actually touched the casket, which was not something that a Jew should do because that would make him unclean. To touch that casket, it says, yet he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. So he stops them after he says to the woman, weep not. And he stops and he touches the casket. There's nothing the doctors could do. There's nothing the friends could do. There's nothing his mother could do. And then walking by comes the antagonist of death, Jesus Christ, who is the giver of life. And he stops the procession and says, now watch what he says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Young man, I say unto thee, here's this, again, just imagine, here's this funeral procession coming out, this woman is weeping, and this guy out of nowhere just shows up with this big crowd, and he stops this whole funeral procession, and he says to her, weep not. And she's kind of wondering what's going on, and then he stops the casket, and he touches it, and he says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And they're probably thinking, who is this guy? What is he doing? I mean, he's just interrupted this whole funeral procession. He's just talked to the mother and told her to stop crying, and now he stops the funeral procession, and he says to the man, the young man and the guy, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Can I tell you, friend? Death has no power when Jesus speaks. No power at all. And he that was dead sat up. Can you imagine being one of those pallbearers? I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying, you've been carrying this casket out, and you're expecting to put this casket into the ground, and all of a sudden the Bible says that Jesus says, young man, I say unto thee, arise, and all of a sudden he sits up. Not just sits up, but he starts talking. That's what it says. It says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes, death has no power. This young man sat up immediately. They didn't have to wait to go get a doctor to figure it. No, as soon as Jesus said, young man, I say unto thee, arise, he sat up and he starts talking. Can you just imagine? Can you imagine what that mother standing there, the emotion that she must have been thinking, the emotion seeing her son sit up and start talking. And the Bible says he delivered him to his mother. Can I tell you, there's probably no greater gift that woman could have received than the gift of life and her son. That's the greatest gift she could have gotten that day other than Jesus Christ. That's the greatest physical gift she could have gotten to see her son rise up. He simply spoke the words, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus wants to bring life. That voice that raised that young man will one day speak again and say, arise. Only this time it's not to a physical body that's in a casket there, but this time it's going to be to a glorified body. This time, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, one day Jesus is going to come again and he's going to say, arise. And those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are going to rise from the grave and they're going to be caught up to heaven to meet the Lord, to be with him for all of eternity, if we know who Jesus is. You see, there were three types of life that we find in this passage. There was the life that was given at birth through the mother to give life to her son and bring her son into this world. There was life at the grave through Jesus when he brought him back to physical life. But can I tell you, there's a greater life than either of those two. It's a life that Jesus can only bring, and it's a life that comes only through Jesus Christ, that we don't have to fear death anymore. A life that is eternal. In fact, this is what the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was a great gift that mother received in Jesus bringing her son back to life. But can I tell you, friend, the greatest gift that you and I and anyone can ever receive is the gift of eternal life. And that's the life that only Jesus can bring. This church, no church, no religion, no denomination can give you that life. No ritual that you will ever try to do. You can't keep the commandments. You can't get baptized. You can't become a member. You can't do good. Those things don't bring life. There's only one who can bring life, and it's the one who defeated death. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only one who defeated death. He's the only one who can bring life. Now, why all of this being done? Was it done for the mother? No. Was it done for the son to bring him back to life so that he could care for his mother? No. It wasn't that Jesus felt sorry that this young man had missed out on life. No. It wasn't even for those who were following him. No. It wasn't for the city, those people in the city. No. Watch what it says. In verse number 16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Friend, do you understand the whole purpose of this was not for the mother, although she was a benefit. It was not for the son, although he was given life. The whole purpose of this was to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God, to show that God had visited his people, to show that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And just as he has the power to raise that young man back to life, he is the only one who has the power to give us eternal life. The gift of life is only through Jesus Christ. One son was alive, but destined to die. One son was dead, but was destined to live. Two sons met on that road. One could not defeat death. One experienced death, but one knew him. One knew his mother. One saw them. One had compassion, and one had the power to give life. Friend, can I tell you today, there's only one person that has the power to give you life, and that's Jesus Christ. More so than any physical need that you have, whether it's health, whether it's family needs, whether it's financial needs, whatever need you think you might have, there's no greater need that you have today than Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To know that the moment that you die, that you'll be with God for all of eternity. To know that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sins. There's no greater gift that you can receive today than the gift of life. And there's only one who offers it. It's not me. It's not this church. It's Jesus Christ. And you have a choice. You can choose to either receive that gift of life, or you can choose to reject it and say, no, I think I'll find it another way. But friend, I do want to tell you, there is no other way. It is only through Jesus Christ and him alone. And in fact, let me just leave you with the words of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, is that clear? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said there's one way. Do you know that way? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a day in your life when you came to know Jesus Christ? You met him. I don't know what road it may have been on. There was a road one day that you met Jesus Christ and he gave you life. If not, friend, can I tell you, today can be that day. Today can be the day that you can meet Jesus and to know him as your Savior, to know that he can give you life that you need, but he's the only one that can give it. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, nobody looking about, I wonder maybe this morning, maybe there'd be somebody that would say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not sure if I have eternal life. I'm not sure if I have that personal relationship with God. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. Pastor Andrew, I'm not sure of those things. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I would like to pray for you this morning. And if that's you, would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down? Nobody's going to come to you. But I want to pray for you this morning. Say, Pastor Andrew, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. But I would definitely like to know that. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up, put it right back down. I just want to pray for you this morning. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Yes, God bless you. Put your hand down. Someone else, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure where I would go. Someone else, friend, the greatest gift that you can receive is the gift of life through Jesus Christ. Christian, what about you and I? Are we doing all we can? Are we following Jesus' example and seeing the needs of others and showing compassion and trying to share Jesus with them? If we've experienced this gift, we've received it, shouldn't we be sharing it with others, telling them how they can know Jesus as their Savior? Father, I pray that you'd work in the invitation now. Lord, I pray you'd help us to look to you and understand that you are the giver of life. And Lord, each person here today has to make a choice, has to make a decision whether we will choose to receive you as our Savior, as the giver of life, or if we're going to try to find it some other way. Lord, I know many here today have already made that decision. They've made that decision to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They've made that decision that Jesus is the only way. Lord, I know there are some that have not. There were some that raised their hands. There's some that did not raise their hand, but in their heart they know they're uncertain. They do not know if they have life. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart. Lord, that we would have the opportunity to take the word of God and show them how they can know Jesus Christ, how they can know the giver of life as their personal Savior, and how they can receive that life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Christians this morning to help us to desire to share the gospel more, to share that gift of life with others that they might know Christ as well. Lord, would you help us in this? In Jesus' name we pray.